观众朋友们，大家好，今天是5月14号，星期四，欢迎收看《美国观察》。美国国会议员星期二开始对美国重启经济的成本进行权衡。实行了2个多月的居家令之后，美国国会现在正在考虑另一套大规模的援助方案。来看报道。
随着全国各州开始放宽对居家措施的限制，国会议员得到的警告是，如果不等待死亡人数下降，就要付出代价。
If some areas, cities, states, or what have you, jump over those various checkpoints and prematurely open up without having the capability of being able to respond effectively and efficiently, my concern is that we will start to see little spikes that might turn into outbreaks.
即使抗议活动在全国各地如火如荼，呼吁结束限制措施，美国参议院和卫生专家不得不远程参与听证，以免接触到病毒。当民主党人戴着口罩时，一些共和党人没有戴，这是如何应对新冠疫情的政治辩论升级的迹象。
Staying at home indefinitely is not the solution to this pandemic. There is not enough money available.To help all those hurt by a closed economy. All roads back to work and back to school lead through testing, tracking, isolation, treatment, and vaccines.
美国总统特朗普说，美国现在已经赶上了其他国家。
We prevailed on testing.
议员们将详细了解这项测试能力的确切含义。
So by September, taking every aspect of development, authorization, manufacturing, and supply chain into consideration,We project that our nation will be capable of performing at least 40 to 50 million tests per month.
即使美国经济开始起步并运转，也将难以遏制经济困难。失业人数达到了近100年来的最高，但参议院共和党人在国会批准另一轮援助计划之前，敦促要保持谨慎。
We're taking a look at what we've already done. We've added about $3 trillion to the national debt.And assessing the effectiveness of that before deciding to go forward.
民主党人说，还需要注入大量的资金，以帮助需要的雇员和重启美国经济。
We must think big for the people now, because if we don't, it will cost more in lives and livelihood later. Not acting is the most expensive course.
众议院计划在本星期晚些时候通过的3万亿美元的提案，肯定将无法在共和党占多数的美国参议院通过。美国之音记者吉普森华盛顿报道。
美国国会议员推出一项制裁法案，称中国如果不配合国际调查，说明新冠病毒爆发的始末，将授权美国总统对中国进行制裁。我们来看美国之音国会记者李怡华的报道。
参议院司法委员会主席格雷厄姆参议员星期二率领多位的国会共和党人共同推出新冠病毒问责法。法案内容称，如果中国不配合国际调查的合作，不全面说明导致新冠病毒疫情爆发的过程，那么美国国会将会授权总统来对中国进行制裁。格雷厄姆参议员在他的声明当中说，他认为如果没有中国共产党的欺瞒，病毒不会出现在美国。中国拒绝让国际社会进入武汉实验室进行调查，中国拒绝调查人员研究这场疫情是如何开始的。格雷厄姆参议员还说，他认为中国永远不会配合调查，除非中国被逼着这么做。这项严厉的法案将会对中国进行制裁，直到中国愿意与调查人员合作为止。格雷厄姆参议员的这项法案一共获得了8位国会共和党参议员的联署支持。来自北卡罗来纳州的共和党参议员蒂利斯也是法案的联署人之一。他在接受美国之音采访时表示，他认为让中国为此次疫情承担责任是势在必行的。我们来听听他怎么说。
We do have to hold China accountable, though, mainly on the communications front. There's a lot of critical information. We all know the time that we had could have been expanded by probably 4 weeks. That could have made a marked difference.In terms of our response and preparation.
法案要求总统在60天内说明中国是否就新冠病毒调查提供完整和全面的交代，还要求中国尽快的关闭目前所有运营中的失货市场。除此之外，法案还同时提到了尽快释放在新冠疫情当中被逮捕的香港民主活动人士。蒂利斯议员在接受美国之音采访时强调，他认为在此次的疫情之后，美国将会从中汲取许多的教训， 而美中关系也将会发生变化。我们继续来听听蒂利斯议员怎么说。
Well, I think we have to keep in mind, I don't know, it was not all good old times. Think about the tension in the South China Sea and China's relatively near-term aspirations to be the world military and economic superpower. So there's always been this tension that I think will exist. Will we get back to some more productive talks? I think that we need to. I think that we're in a very, very difficult time where it's hard to imagine when that happens and then what it looks like. But of course, some things will simmer down. But the world, I mean, the things are going to change substantially as a result of this. And it's mainly, in my view, it's a matter of national interest and public health that we look at things and look at them differently, learn from where we had the critical shortages and potential threats, and configure our supply chains accordingly.
参议员所提出来的这项法案包含了一系列的制裁措施选项，其中包括冻结资产、吊销签证、禁止旅行、限制美国金融机构向中国企业提供贷款或承销，以及禁止中国公司在美国上市。以上是美国之音记者李一华、钟月哲在国会山的采访报道。
尽管白宫已经要求工作人员们佩戴口罩，但是特朗普总统依然在避免戴口罩。与此同时，戴不戴口罩已经成为了美国民众的政治表态。来看报道。
从本星期开始，白宫规定工作人员和访客必须戴口罩。此前，更多白宫员工新冠测试呈阳性，其中包括副总统新闻秘书凯蒂·米勒和高级顾问斯蒂芬·米勒的妻子。特朗普总统说，是他在白宫强制人们佩戴口罩。
Well, if there is a certain distance from me, or if there is a certain distance from each other, they do. In the case of me, I'm not close to anybody.
特朗普从未在公共场合戴过口罩，包括他最近访问口罩生产设施期间，这是他上个月说的话。
I think wearing a face mask as I greet presidents, prime ministers, dictators, kings, queens, I don't know, somehow.I don't see it for myself.
His concern is really about the visual propaganda of what it looks like for the president of the United States to be wearing a mask. I think to him it probably signals weakness.
四月初，美国疾控中心建议美国人使用布口罩来预防新冠病毒。
When the vast majority of people actually do that, it does reduce the transmission of respiratory viruses, COVID.And influenza, so it has a double benefit. But wearing the mask is absolutely the most important thing you can do to reduce the transmission.
亚洲一些国家的人们经常由于各种健康原因佩戴口罩。美国不同，许多人不习惯戴口罩。最近的一项民意调查显示，有79%的民主党人在公共场合佩戴口罩，而共和党人则是59%。这些显示戴口罩的决定可能受到政治的影响，这种政治因素促使一些美国人集会反对封锁令，特朗普总统在推特上予以支持。这些人可能更相信阴谋论，认为新冠病毒及其缓解措施是推翻特朗普的骗局。詹妮弗·莫西卡表示，公共卫生的两极化是党派关系的延续，这种关系在过去几十年中一直在加深。
People who've been prepared for 20, 30 years to understand the world as an us versus them struggle, are looking for cues that signal, you know, what is our side's position versus what is their side's position. And so it's really unfortunate that, you know, public safety is at risk because of a partisan agenda.
特朗普避免佩戴口罩的做法受到了批评。包括民主党籍众议院院长南希·佩洛西都曾批评说，总统应该在这种致命的瘟疫中为美国人树立榜样。美国之音记者维达·库斯瓦拉报道。
美国联邦最高法院大法官们正在审视特朗普总统是否有权可以拒绝公开缴税记录的案件，我们一起去看一看。
美国联邦最高法院星期二听取了两个案件的口头辩论，两案涉及国会和纽约曼哈顿检察官向特朗普的会计事务所和银行发出索取特朗普税务和其他财务记录的传票。经过三个小时的辩论，最高法院大法官们没有达成一致。 大法官们看起来可能会推翻特朗普总统坚称总统可以免于刑事调查的说法，但是他们在到底如何处理传票的问题上似乎不太明确。最高法院对于总统权力问题的主要分歧可能会影响2020年总统大选，尤其是如果裁决导致特朗普总统在11月大选前公开个人财务信息。美联社驻最高法院记者马克·谢尔曼认为，大法官们的辩论反映的不是传统的自由派保守派划线，他们尤为担心的是支持下级法院批准国会传票可能会造成的影响。
The justices seem concerned about a rulingthat would basically allow for some future Congress, whether it's controlled by Democrats or Republicans, essentially to harass a president of the other party with an endless stream of subpoenas for information without trying to work them out in some sort of informal process by then just going to court and saying, here's a subpoena, please enforce it.
在涉及曼哈顿检察官要求调阅信息的案件的辩论中，大法官们对特朗普律师所称的在任总统可以不被调查的论述几乎没有兴趣。谢尔曼说，类似的论述在联邦法院审理的其他涉及总统传票的案件中也被提出过，但是遭到了否决。
Both in 1974 and 1997 involving Richard Nixon and Bill Clinton, the Supreme Court ruled and unanimously in both cases that the presidents had to comply.With subpoenas. They were very different situations than the current one, but in both cases, the ruling of the court was in essence that the president, as busy as he is, as many duties as he has, is not above the law.
大法官们本周末前将以电话会议的形式对案件应做出何种裁定进行初步投票，预计大法官们将在今后的几个星期内做出裁决。美国之音新闻报道。
受到新冠疫情的影响，美国大多数的学校都关闭了校园，改为线上授课，而有着听力障碍或者失聪的学生则面临着教育资源短缺和沟通不便的挑战。我们来看美国之音记者卡拉和王平的报道。
新冠疫情期间，华盛顿特区的高利德大学也过渡到网上授课，这是一所为失聪和听力障碍人士设立的大学。近两个月来，教师通过 Zoom 等软件为学生教授美国手语和英语的双语课程。
ASL is in 3D, where we have our facial expressions and body language that uses space to convey and emphasize concepts. So the online teaching and learning, ASL becomes 2D from time to time. It creates a little bit more of a struggle because students can't really see all of the facial expressions.
除了沟通普遍存在问题之外，教师们还面临更大的挑战。线上使用美国手语进行教学的资源短缺，教师不得不自己制作实验视频，用美国手语给学生讲解。
It was frustrating too. The first 2 weeks of being online, I worked day and night on developing all this, over weekends too.A lot of the faculty members, educators, are making their own resources. Because what organizations or companies that are providing these apps without captioning and no ASL, we can't access. So no, there isn't anything out there. And that's one of the things that we're struggling with right now.
不仅在大学，失聪和听力障碍儿童也急需美国手语教育资源。在高利德大学主管数字教育实验室的梅丽莎·莫兹库恩也是一名7岁失聪男孩的母亲。她在网上找到许多生动多彩、带英文字幕的儿童教育应用，但可惜文字过于复杂，远超过7岁孩子的理解能力。
And so my deaf son has to ask me what the app say, and so then I will read the captioning and sign it to him. And so we really have to develop.More resources for deaf children. that are presented in American Sign Language. It's fully accessible to the young deaf emergent reader. And so that has become more and more apparent to me in this pandemic, is that there's a huge gap.
莫兹库恩和他的研究团队在疫情期间开发了一套新的故事读本内容，每周通过讲故事、进行艺术手工创作和小测试的形式，用英文和美国手语向儿童介绍世界多国的故事和文化。
Now our storybooks have been released for free, and we have 1,500 families who have signed up for these activities, who are using them and reading the stories and watching them live online.
对于失聪和听力障碍儿童来说，线上资源远不能承担教育的全部。美国有大约1100万失聪及听力障碍人士，其中300万人是儿童。超过 90% 的失聪儿童出生在听力无障碍的家庭。对于父母不使用美国手语的儿童来说，离开学校几乎等于让儿童与沟通和信息隔离。
There's a real disparity. Hearing children have immediate access to information, whereas very often deaf children don't. They're not surrounded and inundated by information and resources. But if we're able to work together to create something for deaf children, then we're able to make up for the lack of resources.
在全校线上授课之后不久，伯腾姆斯的团队利用不到一周的时间，搭建了一个线上教育图书馆。鼓励从事失聪和听力障碍教育的工作人员分享教育资源。目前图书馆里已经有从幼儿到高中教育的超过600多条视频内容。
And it's something that we've realized only comes from working together to provide resources. Deaf teachers out there have a collective intellect, and there have been a lot of wonderful teachers in the field of deaf education who have banded together.In order to share the resources during this time.
在疫情中，来自多地的教育工作者不断在网络上丰富着失聪及听力障碍学生的世界，但对于急需互动和参与的学生们来说，这恐怕还远远不够。
This will help us understand, you know, what it means to have an online learning experience.And especially my view for younger children is, you know, wow, they are so resilient. And, you know, I think that, you know, digital learning should just be one of many options that they have, that they get support, they have access to, but that's not their main approach to learning.
美国之音王平卡拉华盛顿报道。
今年空旷的体育馆和虚拟仪式将是毕业典礼的常态。一位医生助手呼吁毕业生们把礼服捐给需要个人防护装备的医务人员。
空旷的体育馆和虚拟仪式将是今年毕业的常态，但前线医生的助手纳萨尔尼摩尔不希望毕业生把辛苦挣来的毕业礼服浪费掉。他敦促毕业生戴上礼帽，捐出礼袍。摩尔创立了一个叫做爱心礼袍的慈善组织，把毕业礼服捐赠给需要个人防护装备的医务人员。到目前为止，已有75,000多名一线紧急救护人员报名索取礼袍。
The gowns are more effective than other alternative measures of PPE, given their length, their sleeves, and their easy donning with zippered access.
美国各地的医护人员已经走上街头，为缺乏适当的防护装备而抗议。有些医生甚至不得不采取穿垃圾袋的做法。摩尔认为这无法保护手部和腰部以下的部位。
Hear these personal stories of people on the front lines that have nothing, that are begging for gowns, that are begging for any support that we can offer them and as fast as possible. And we're working just as hard as we can to make sure we can spread our story, get people to donate, to help those that are reaching out.
摩尔今年也将从佛蒙特大学的 MBA 项目毕业。他说，爱心礼袍组织只是表彰他的医疗保健同事和他的应届毕业生的完美方式。预计今年将有接近400万人从美国的大学毕业。美国之音新闻报道。
对于美国的大学生来说，9月以后的开学生活可能会发生巨大的变化，一些大学课程可能会改为在帐篷里授课。我们一起去看一看。
由于大流行病加剧，大学在3月份清空宿舍，并改为线上教学。这一决定使许多学生大声疾呼，要求退还部分学费。 面对预算短缺，几间大学表示他们暂停了基础建设投资，冻结招聘，并且让员工放无薪假。现在学校在探索以创新过去难以想象的方法，确保学生能在2020到2021学年重返校园。缅因州私校新英格兰大学校长詹姆斯·赫伯特表示，未来肯定会出现变化，但学校会以另外一种不同形式开放。
Will there be some degrees of social distancing in effect? Absolutely. It's hard to know exactly what those are going to look like right now. I would envision, for example, that it's probably going to be the case that we're going to have everybody at the community, when you're outside of your office or your dorm room, you're wearing a mask, for example, just to cut down on spread.
据美国新闻与世界报道统计，2019到2020学年，州内公立大学的平均学杂费为10,116美元，私立学校为36,801美元。学校管理层正聚焦于宿舍生活的改变。赫伯特说，学校正在研究依据学生是否有新冠抗体的检测结果来分配室友。
But one can imagine a situation in which if a student was immune and had good immunity, and we were able to document that, that student could be mixed with a student who wasn't immune, and we wouldn't have to worry about that student either passing it on or contracting it themselves. So that would be the idea. And of course, you could put two students who were immune together, but you could also mix it up and have a student who was immune and a student who wasn't immune. Okay. That really all is contingent on the availability of the tests and their accuracy. So we just have to wait and see over the summer if they become more accurate.
社交距离举措也将影响校园课程和学生的学术生活。由于新冠病毒更容易在密闭空间传染，斯坦福大学发言人说，该校考虑在户外的大帐篷里上课。学生可能暂停在大礼堂举行的数百人大型课程，并在大礼堂举行较小型的课程，以便保持学生之间的距离。赫伯特说，即使采取预防措施，也无法消除疫情爆发的风险，大学对此应保持透明。赫伯特说，新英格兰大学可能向学生和他们的父母发送同意书，表明回到校园在某种程度上意味着更高风险。而对于以派对和运动文化闻名的学校来说，学生是否会在拥挤的校园里坚守社交距离和其他安全措施还是个疑问。
I'm not expecting obviously to go back to school fully next year completely, but I mean, I think I heard they're trying to figure out a way to maybe do like half online, like maybe big lectures are online, but like discussions and office hours are still in person. And like some of the students have to like wear masks and stuff around, which like makes sense. But that seems better to me than just online again. Like obviously it's hard at UCLA because it's such a large university. It's probably easier for smaller schools to go back and have classes. But I mean, like 400 people lectures, I think are not going to be realistic for a long time. But I mean,For that size, it doesn't really matter if it's online or not. It's more of like the small classes with the more personal connections that I miss.
I don't think that's safe at all. I mean, even if we do have smaller classes, right, it would mean that everyone would still be in the dorms and there's like communal bathrooms and everything. And if one person in the entire building, I feel like if they were to get coronavirus, then it would spread throughout the building very easily. And I think that's a...safety concern that colleges have to keep in mind.
20岁的马德琳说，她不确定9月是否要返回学校。如果在线上课，她考虑休学一年，因为她不想为在线课程支付如此高昂的学费。她说，如果有面对面的教学，她可能会重返校园，即便这意味着大学生活形态的改变。美国之音新闻报道。
由于新冠疫情导致很多的学校和校园被关闭，一些大学不再需要申请的学生提供标准化考试的成绩。来看报道。
每年高中生都要参加 SAT 或 ACT 以及托福等标准化考试才能进入大学，但是这些测试是否有价值已经争论了数十年。现在有1000多所大学和学院不再要求入学需要这些考试成绩。自新冠疫情隔离措施出台以来，康奈尔大学加入了不要求标准化考试成绩的学校行列，至少现在如此。
The idea that we could say something meaningful to the juniors that gives them a slight sense of relief, I'm talking about the juniors in high school, something to say, hey, don't sweat it, don't panic too much. Maybe the fall will be different for you, maybe it'll be better. Meanwhile, we just want to take one thing off your plate.
有关标准化考试的争论，包括这些考试反映的是考试技巧，而不是教育质量和能力。
The COVID pandemic has behaved as a catalyst
more rapidly accelerating an already fast-moving movement. Our experience is that schools that adopt test optional pilots for 1, 2, or 3 years, suspending test scores while they review.
俄勒冈州立大学招生教务长乔恩·伯肯斯泰特说，还有其他预测大学学业成功的更好的指标。
Every college admissions officer I know and every university I know says solidly the best predictor of your performance is your high school GPA in those college preparatory courses. That's the only thing that helps us predict whether or not you're going to be a success in college. So that's really all that matters.
管理 SAT 的大学理事会在一份声明中对美国之音表示，我们支持那些强调明年录取过程具有合理灵活性的大学，而 SAT 帮助确保学生被大学录取，这是学生在大学申请中能脱颖而出的一个助力。但康奈尔大学的乔纳森·伯迪克表示，规模较大的大学必须包括 SAT 和 ACT 分数，才能评估成千上万的申请者，因此康奈尔实行的考试成绩作为选项是暂时的。但是伯克肯斯特说，这是很多学校进行尝试的方式。
They might say it'll be 2 years or 3 years, and then we'll do the results, look at the results, and do the research, and see if in fact test optional policies have been good for us. Maybe they have skeptics on campus.
ACT 研究人员韦恩·卡马拉说，标准化测试的价值有研究结果的支持。
Not just the research from.A single institution that's done this, but look at research across institutions, peer-reviewed research that really shows pretty conclusively the test optional has few benefits.
与此同时，新冠疫情加速了将来如何评估标准化测试的进程。美国之音贝尼托报道。
新冠病毒肆虐的情况下，人们在隔离期间依然试图保持与彼此间的联系。一个青少年的公益组织正在帮助隔离病房里的病人与他们的亲人们建立联系。来看报道。
这些路标指向波士顿的一个新冠病毒筛检处，在那里工作人员收到了捐赠的手机，这些手机可能会改变患者的隔离生活。
There's a ban on visitation in the hospitals right nowand patients, you know, don't have the abilities to connect with their loved ones, so that's kind of where we step in.
19岁的卡亚·苏纳尔共同创立了非营利组织“新冠联系”。他的父母都是急诊室医生，这个想法在他和母亲在线聊天时出现。他的母亲提到，病人在隔离期间的孤独，当中很多人是老年人。
I just posted on Facebook and said, hey, if anybody has any devices, let me know, and I can work with my parents to get them into hospitals. And the response was pretty overwhelming just on Facebook alone.
苏纳尔说，他们一周内为罗德岛州的医院募集了650台手机。新冠联系接着扩展到整个新英格兰的其他医院，并且计划扩展到纽约。
The patients in the hospitals who have used them are super grateful, and then the families who have been able to connect with their loved ones are grateful.
新冠联系的工作成果得到罗德岛州州长的公开赞扬，进一步提升了形象，并帮助他们从亚马逊公司获得500多台通信设备。美国之音阿拉巴萨迪华盛顿报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们下次节目再见。 观众朋友们，大家好，今天是5月14号，星期四，欢迎收看《美国观察》。美国国会议员星期二开始对美国重启经济的成本进行权衡。实行了两个多月的居家令之后，美国国会现在正在考虑另一套大规模的援助方案。来看报道。
随着全国各州开始放宽对居家措施的限制，国会议员得到的警告是，如果不等待死亡人数下降，就要付出代价。
If some areas, cities, states, or what have you, jump over those various checkpoints and prematurely open up without having the capability of being able to respond effectively and efficiently, my concern is that we will start to see little spikes that might turn into outbreaks.
即使抗议活动在全国各地如火如荼，呼吁结束限制措施，美国参议院和卫生专家不得不远程参与听证，以免接触到病毒。当民主党人戴着口罩时，一些共和党人没有戴，这是如何应对新冠疫情的政治辩论升级的迹象。
Staying at home indefinitely is not the solution to this pandemic. There is not enough money available.To help all those hurt by a closed economy. All roads back to work and back to school lead through testing, tracking, isolation, treatment, and vaccines.
美国总统特朗普说，美国现在已经赶上了其他国家。
We prevailed on testing.
议员们将详细了解这项测试能力的确切含义。
So by September, taking every aspect of development, authorization, manufacturing, and supply chain into consideration,We project that our nation will be capable of performing at least 40 to 50 million tests per month.
即使美国经济开始起步并运转，也将难以遏制经济困难。失业人数达到了近100年来的最高，但参议院共和党人在国会批准另一轮援助计划之前敦促要保持谨慎。
We're taking a look at what we've already done. We've added about $3 trillion to the national debt.And assessing the effectiveness of that before deciding to go forward.
民主党人说，还需要注入大量的资金，以帮助需要的雇员和重启美国经济。
We must think big for the people now, because if we don't, it will cost more in lives and livelihood later. Not acting is the most expensive course.
众议院计划在本星期晚些时候通过的$30 billion的提案，肯定将无法在共和党占多数的美国参议院通过。美国之音记者吉普森华盛顿报道。
美国国会议员推出一项制裁法案，称中国如果不配合国际调查，说明新冠病毒爆发的始末，将授权美国总统对中国进行制裁。我们来看美国之音国会记者李怡华的报道。
参议院司法委员会主席格雷厄姆参议员辛吉尔率领多位的国会共和党人共同推出新冠病毒问责法。法案内容称，如果中国不配合国际调查的合作，不全面说明导致新冠病毒疫情爆发的过程，那么美国国会将会授权总统来对中国进行制裁。格雷厄姆参议员在他的声明当中说，他认为如果没有中国共产党的欺瞒，病毒不会出现在美国。中国拒绝让国际社会进入武汉实验室进行调查，中国拒绝调查人员研究这场疫情是如何开始的。格雷厄姆参议员还说，他认为中国永远不会配合调查，除非中国被逼着这么做。这项严厉的法案将会对中国进行制裁，直到中国愿意与调查人员合作为止。格雷厄姆参议员的这项法案一共获得了8位国会共和党参议员的联署支持。来自北卡罗来纳州的共和党参议员蒂利斯也是法案的联署人之一。他在接受美国之音采访时表示，他认为让中国为此次疫情承担责任是势在必行的。我们来听听他怎么说。
We do have to hold China accountable, though. Mainly on the communications front. There's a lot of critical information. We all know the time that we had could have been expanded by probably 4 weeks. That could have made a marked difference in terms of our response and preparation.
要求总统在60天内说明中国是否就新冠病毒调查提供完整和全面的交代，还要求中国尽快的关闭目前所有运营中的失货市场。除此之外，法案还同时提到了尽快释放在新冠疫情当中被逮捕的香港民主活动人士。蒂利斯议员在接受美国之音采访时强调，他认为在此次的疫情之后，美国将会从中汲取许多的教训，而美中关系也将会发生变化。我们继续来听听蒂利斯
议员怎么说?
Well, I think we have to keep in mind, I don't know, it was not all good old times. Think about the tension in the South China Sea and China's relatively near-term aspirations to be the world military and economic superpower. So there's always been this tension that I think will exist. Will we get back to some more productive talks? I think that we need to. But I think that we're in a very, very difficult time where it's hard to imagine when that happens and then what it looks like. But of course, some things will simmer down. But the world, I mean, the things are going to change substantially as a result of this. And it's mainly, in my view, it's a matter of national interest and public health that we look at things and look at them differently, learn from where we had the critical shortages and potential threats and configure our supply chains accordingly.
参议员所提出来的这项法案包含了一系列的制裁措施选项，其中包括冻结资产、吊销签证、禁止旅行、限制美国金融机构向中国企业提供贷款或承销，以及禁止中国公司在美国上市。以上是美国之音记者李一华、钟瑞哲在国会山的采访报道。
尽管白宫已经要求工作人员们佩戴口罩，但是特朗普总统依然在避免戴口罩。与此同时，戴不戴口罩已经成为了美国民众的政治表态。来看报道。从本星期开始，白宫规定工作人员和访客必须戴口罩。此前，更多白宫员工新冠测试呈阳性，其中包括副总统新闻秘书凯蒂·米勒和高级顾问斯蒂芬·米勒的妻子。
Well, if there's a certain distance from me or if there's a certain distance from each other, they do. In the case of me, I'm not close to anybody.
特朗普从未在公共场合戴过口罩，包括他最近访问口罩生产设施期间，这是他上个月说的话。
I think wearing a face mask as I greet presidents, prime ministers, dictators, kings, queens, I don't know, somehow I don't see it for myself.
His concern is really about the visual propaganda of what it looks like for the president of the United States to be wearing a mask. I think to him it probably signals weakness.
4月初，美国疾控中心建议美国人使用布口罩来预防新冠病毒。
When the vast majority of people actually do that, it does reduce the transmission of respiratory viruses, COVID and influenza. So it has a double benefit. But wearing the mask is absolutely the most important thing you can do to reduce the transmission.
亚洲一些国家的人们经常由于各种健康原因佩戴口罩。 美国不同，许多人不习惯戴口罩。最近的一项民意调查显示，有79%的民主党人在公共场合佩戴口罩，而共和党人则是59%。这些显示戴口罩的决定可能受到政治的影响。这种政治因素促使一些美国人集会反对封锁令。特朗普总统在推特上予以支持。这些人可能更相信阴谋论， 认为新冠病毒及其缓解措施是推翻特朗普的骗局。詹妮弗·莫西卡表示，公共卫生的两极化是党派关系的延续，这种关系在过去几十年中一直在加深。People
who've been prepared for 20, 30 years to understand the world as an us versus them struggle are looking for cues that signal, you know, what is our side's position versus what is their side's position. And so it's really unfortunate that, you know, public safety is at risk because of a partisan agenda.
特朗普避免佩戴口罩的做法受到了批评，包括民主党籍众议院院长南希·佩洛西都曾批评说，总统应该在这种致命的瘟疫中为美国人树立榜样。美国之音记者维达库斯瓦拉报道。美国联邦最高法院大法官们正在审视特朗普总统是否有权可以拒绝公开缴税记录的案件，我们一起去看一看。
美国联邦最高法院星期二听取了两个案件的口头辩论，两案涉及国会和纽约曼哈顿检察官向特朗普的会计事务所和银行发出索取特朗普税务和其他财务记录的传票。经过三个小时的辩论，最高法院大法官们没有达成一致。大法官们看起来可能会推翻特朗普总统坚称总统可以免于刑事调查的说法， 但是他们在到底如何处理传票的问题上似乎不太明确。
最高法院对于总统权力问题的主要分歧可能会影响2020年总统大选，尤其是如果裁决导致特朗普总统在11月大选前公开个人财务信息。美联社驻最高法院记者马克·谢尔曼认为，大法官们的辩论反映的不是传统的自由派保守派划线，他们尤为担心的是支持下级法院批准国会传票可能会造成的影响。
The justices seem concerned about a ruling that would basically allow for some future Congress, whether it's controlled by Democrats or Republicans, essentially to harass a president of the other party with an endless stream of subpoenas for information without trying to work them out in some sort of informal process by then just going to court and saying, here's a subpoena, please enforce it.
在涉及曼哈顿检察官要求调阅信息的案件的辩论中，大法官们对特朗普律师所称的在任总统可以不被调查的论述几乎没有兴趣。谢尔曼说，类似的论述在联邦法院审理的其他涉及总统传票的案件中也被提出过，但是遭到了否决。
Both in 1974 and 1997 involving Richard Nixon and Bill Clinton, the Supreme Court ruled and unanimously in both cases that the presidents had to comply.With subpoenas. They were very different situations than the current one, but in both cases, the ruling of the court was in essence that the president, as busy as he is, as many duties as he has, is not above the law.
大法官们本周末前将以电话会议的形式对案件应做出何种裁定进行初步投票。预计大法官们将在今后的几个星期内做出裁决。美国之音新闻报道。
新冠疫情的影响，美国大多数的学校都关闭了校园，改为线上授课，而有着听力障碍或者失聪的学生则面临着教育资源短缺和沟通不便的挑战。我们来看美国之音记者卡拉和王平的报道。
新冠疫情期间，华盛顿特区的高利德大学也过渡到网上授课，这是一所为失聪和听力障碍人士设立的大学。近两个月来，教师通过 Zoom 等软件为学生教授美国手语和英语的双语课程。
ASL is in 3D, where we have our facial expressions and body language that uses space to convey and emphasize concepts. So the online teaching and learning, ASL becomes 2D from time to time. It creates a little bit more of a struggle because students can't really see all of the facial expressions.
除了沟通普遍存在问题之外，教师们还面临更大的挑战。线上使用美国手语进行教学的资源短缺，教师不得不自己制作实验视频，用美国手语给学生讲解。
It was frustrating too. The first 2 weeks of being online, I worked day and night on developing all this, over weekends too.So a lot of the faculty members, educators are making their own resources because what organizations or companies that are providing these apps without captioning and no ASL, we can't access. So no, there isn't anything out there. And that's one of the things that we're struggling with right now.
不仅在大学，失聪和听力障碍儿童也急需美国手语教育资源。在高利德大学主管数字教育实验室的梅丽莎·莫兹库恩也是一名7岁失聪男孩的母亲。她在网上找到许多生动多彩、带英文字幕的儿童教育应用，但可惜文字过于复杂，远超过7岁孩子的理解能力。
And so my deaf son has to ask me what the app say, and so then I will read the captioning and sign it to him. And so we really have to develop.More resources for deaf children that are presented in American Sign Language. It's fully accessible to the young deaf emergent reader. And so that has become more and more apparent to me in this pandemic, is that there's a huge gap.
穆兹库恩和他的研究团队在疫情期间开发了一套新的故事读本内容，每周通过讲故事、进行艺术手工创作和小测试的形式，用英文和美国手语向儿童介绍世界多国的故事和文化。
Now our storybook have been released for free, and we have 1,500 families who have signed up for these activities, who are using them and reading the stories and watching them live online.
对于失聪和听力障碍儿童来说，线上资源远不能承担教育的全部。美国有大约1100万失聪及听力障碍人士，其中300万人是儿童，超过90%的失聪儿童出生在听力无障碍的家庭。对于父母不使用美国手语的儿童来说，离开学校几乎等于让儿童与沟通和信息隔离。
There's a real disparity. Hearing children have immediate access to information, whereas very often deaf children don't. They're not surrounded and inundated by information and resources. But if we're able to work together to create something for deaf children, then we're able to make up for the lack of resources.
在全校线上授课之后不久，伯腾姆斯的团队利用不到一周的时间搭建了一个线上教育图书馆，鼓励从事失聪和听力障碍教育的工作人员分享教育资源。目前图书馆里已经有从幼儿到高中教育的超过600多条视频内容。
And it's something that we've realized only comes from working together to provide resourcesDeaf teachers out there have a collective intellect, and there have been a lot of wonderful teachers in the field of deaf education who have banded together in order to share the resources during this time.
在疫情中，来自多地的教育工作者不断在网络上丰富着失聪及听力障碍学生的世界，但对于急需互动和参与的学生们来说，这恐怕还远远不够。
This will help us understand, you know, what it means to have an online learning experience. And especially my view for younger children is, you know, wow, they are so resilient. And, you know, I think that, you know, digital learning should just be one of many options that they have, that they get support, they have access to, but that's not their main approach to learning.
美国之音王平、卡拉，华盛顿报道。
今年空旷的体育馆和虚拟仪式将是毕业典礼的常态。一位医生助手呼吁毕业生们把礼服捐给需要个人防护装备的医务人员。
空旷的体育馆和虚拟仪式将是今年毕业的常态，但前线医生的助手纳萨尔尼摩尔不希望毕业生把辛苦挣来的毕业礼服浪费掉。他敦促毕业生戴上礼帽，捐出礼袍。摩尔创立了一个叫做爱心礼袍的慈善组织，把毕业礼服捐赠给需要个人防护装备的医务人员。到目前为止，已有75,000多名一线紧急救护人员报名索取礼袍。
The gowns are more effective than other alternative measures of PPE, given their length, their sleeves, and their easy donning with zippered access.
美国各地的医护人员已经走上街头，为缺乏适当的防护装备而抗议。有些医生甚至不得不采取穿垃圾袋的做法。摩尔认为这无法保护手部和腰部以下的部位。
Hear these personal stories of people on the front lines that have nothing, that are begging for gowns, that are begging for any support that we can offer them and as fast as possible. And we're working just as hard as we can to make sure we can spread our story, get people to donate, to help those that are reaching out.
摩尔今年也将从佛蒙特大学的 MBA 项目毕业。他说，爱心礼袍组织只是表彰他的医疗保健同事和他的应届毕业生的完美方式。预计今年将有接近400万人从美国的大学毕业。美国之音新闻报道。
对于美国的大学生来说，九月以后的开学生活可能会发生巨大的变化，一些大学课程可能会改为在帐篷里授课。我们一起去看一看。
由于大流行病加剧，大学在3月份清空宿舍，并改为线上教学。这一决定使许多学生大声疾呼，要求退还部分学费。面对预算短缺，几间大学表示，他们暂停了基础建设投资，冻结招聘，并且让员工放无薪假。现在， 学校在探索以创新过去难以想象的方法，确保学生能在2020到2021学年重返校园。缅因州私校新英格兰大学校长詹姆斯·赫伯特表示，未来肯定会出现变化，但学校会以另外一种不同形式开放。
Will there be some degrees of social distancing in effect? Absolutely. It's hard to know exactly what those are going to look like right now. I would envision, for example, that it's probably going to be the case that we're going to have everybody at the community when you're outside of your office or your dorm room, you're wearing a mask, for example, just to cut down on spread.
据美国新闻与世界报道统计，2019到2020学年，州内公立大学的平均学杂费为$10,116，私立学校为$36,801。学校管理层正聚焦于宿舍生活的改变。赫伯特说，学校正在研究依据学生是否有新冠抗体的检测结果来分配室友。
But one could imagine a situation in which if a student was immune and had good immunity and we were able to document that, that student could be mixed with a student who wasn't immune. And we wouldn't have to worry about that student either passing it onor contracting it themselves. So that would be the idea. And of course, you could put two students who were immune together, but you could also mix it up and have a student who was immune and a student who wasn't immune. That really all is contingent on the availability of the test and their accuracy. So we just have to wait and see over the summer if they become more accurate.
社交距离举措也将影响校园课程和学生的学术生活。由于新冠病毒更容易在密闭空间传染，斯坦福大学发言人说，该校考虑在户外的大帐篷里上课，学生可能暂停在大礼堂举行的数百人大型课程，并在大礼堂举行较小型的课程，以便保持学生之间的距离。赫伯特说，即使采取预防措施，也无法消除疫情爆发的风险，大学对此应保持透明。赫伯特说，新英格兰大学可能向学生和他们的父母发送同意书，表明回到校园在某种程度上意味着更高风险。而对于以派对和运动文化闻名的学校来说，学生是否会在拥挤的校园里坚守社交距离和其他安全措施还是个疑问。
I'm not expecting, obviously, to go back to school fully next year, completely. But, I mean, I think I heard, they're trying to figure out a way to maybe do, like, half online. Like, maybe big lectures are online, but, like, discussions and office hours are still in person. And, like, some of the students have to, like, wear masks and stuff around, which, like, makes sense. But that seems better to me than just all online again. Like, obviously, it's hard at UCLA because it's such a large university. It's probably easier for smaller schools to go back and have classes. But, I mean, like, 400 people lectures, I think, are not going to be realistic for a long time. But, I mean...For that size, it doesn't really matter if it's online or not. It's more of like the small classes with the more personal connections that I miss.
I don't think that's safe at all. I mean, even if we do have smaller classes, right, it would mean that everyone would still be in the dorms and there's like communal bathrooms and everything. And if one person in the entire building, I feel like if they were to get coronavirus, then it would spread throughout the building very easily. And I think that's a...safety concern that colleges have to keep in mind.
20岁的马德琳说，她不确定九月是否要返回学校。如果在线上课，她考虑休学一年，因为她不想为在线课程支付如此高昂的学费。她说，如果有面对面的教学，她可能会重返校园，即便这意味着大学生活形态的改变。美国之音新闻报道。
由于新冠疫情导致很多的学校和校园被关闭，一些大学不再需要申请的学生提供标准化考试的成绩。来看报道。
每年高中生都要参加 SAT 或 ACT 以及托福等标准化考试才能进入大学，但是这些测试是否有价值已经争论了数十年。现在有1000多所大学和学院不再要求入学需要这些考试成绩。自新冠疫情隔离措施出台以来，康奈尔大学加入了不要求标准化考试成绩的学校行列，至少现在如此。
The idea that we could say something meaningful to the juniors that gives them a slight sense of relief, I'm talking about the juniors in high school, something to say, hey, don't sweat it, don't panic too much. Maybe the fall will be different for you, maybe it'll be better. Meanwhile, we just want to take one thing off your plate.
有关标准化考试的争论，包括这些考试反映的是考试技巧，而不是教育质量和能力。
The COVID pandemic has behaved as a catalyst, more rapidly accelerating an already fast-moving movement. Our experience is that schools that adopt test optional pilots for 1, 2, or 3 years suspending test scores while they review.
俄勒冈州立大学招生教务长乔恩·伯肯斯泰特说，还有其他预测大学学业成功的更好的指标。
Every college admissions officer I know and every university I know says solidly the best predictor of your performance is your high school GPA in those college preparatory courses. That's the only thing that helps us predict whether or not you're going to be a success in college. So that's really all that matters.
管理 SAT 的大学理事会在一份声明中对美国之音表示，我们支持那些强调明年录取过程具有合理灵活性的大学，而 SAT 帮助确保学生被大学录取，这是学生在大学申请中能脱颖而出的一个助力。但康奈尔大学的乔纳森·伯迪克表示，规模较大的大学必须包括 SAT 和 ACT 分数，才能评估成千上万的申请者，因此康奈尔实行的考试成绩作为选项是暂时的。但是伯克肯斯特说，这是很多学校进行尝试的方式。
It might say it'll be 2 years or 3 years, and then we'll do the results, look at the results, and do the research, and see if in fact test optional policies have been good for us. Maybe they have skeptics on campus.
ACT 研究人员韦恩·卡马拉说，标准化测试的价值有研究结果的支持。
Not just the research from.A single institution that's done this, but look at research across institutions, peer-reviewed research that really shows pretty conclusively the test optional has few benefits.
与此同时，新冠疫情加速了将来如何评估标准化测试的进程。美国之音贝尼托报道。
病毒肆虐的情况下，人们在隔离期间依然试图保持与彼此间的联系。一个青少年的公益组织正在帮助隔离病房里的病人与他们的亲人们建立联系。来看报道。
这些路标指向波士顿的一个新冠病毒筛检处，在那里工作人员收到了捐赠的手机，这些手机可能会改变患者的隔离生活。
There's a ban on visitation in the hospitals right nowand patients, you know, don't have the abilities to connect with their loved ones, so that's kind of where we step in.
19岁的卡亚·苏纳尔共同创立了非营利组织新冠联系。他的父母都是急诊室医生，这个想法在他和母亲在线聊天时出现。他的母亲提到病人在隔离期间的孤独，当中很多人是老年人。
I just posted on Facebook and said, hey, if anybody has any devices, let me know, and I can work with my parents to get them into hospitals. And the response was pretty overwhelming just on Facebook alone.
苏纳尔说，他们一周内为罗德岛州的医院募集了650台手机。新冠联系接着扩展到整个新英格兰的其他医院，并且计划扩展到纽约。
The patients in the hospitals who have used them are super grateful, and then the families who have been able to connect with their loved ones are grateful.
新冠联系的工作成果得到罗德岛州州长的公开赞扬，进一步提升了形象，并帮助他们从亚马逊公司获得500多台通信设备。美国之音阿拉巴萨迪华盛顿报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们下次节目再见。
美国之音